Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Praise the Lords podcast. And welcome to the program, people. Episode 49 of the Praise the Lords podcast, and it's Grammys 2023 recap. Now, normally, it's fuck the Grammys for me, but I was intrigued this year based on a lot of the lineup choices and performances, especially with the looming 50th anniversary of hip-hop. So it really kind of dragged me in, and the best album category, album of the year category, best rap album category dragged me in, and a lot of other things dragged me in to watch this controversial awards show because, in my opinion, they don't fully get music, but, you know, it is what it is. But I'm here to talk about the stuff that intrigued me a lot. And, so Grammys 23 happened last night. It's over now, so... So let's start here now with the record of the year. Now, the record of the year and the song of the year, unless someone can tell me, I don't know the damn difference, and I apologize if I don't. I guess maybe record is impact or something, maybe like charts and like radio play, I don't know. But this went to About Damn Time by Lizzo, which I thought deserved it. Really good song, really catchy song. Lizzo killed it. And then Song of the Year. Now, this one was... the Song of the Year was interesting in my eyes because of all of kind of what it was up against. So, the Song of the Year had... it was between ABCDFU by Gayle, About Damn Time, Lizzo, All Too Well, the 10-minute version by Taylor Swift, As It Was by Harry Styles, Bad Habits, Steve Lacy, Break My Soul, Beyonce, Easy On Me, Adele, Heart Part 5, Kendrick Lamar, and God Did by DJ Khaled, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Rick Ross, and John Legend. And Just Like That by Bonnie Raitt. Now, I'm not going to lie here. I was shocked, just like almost everybody else, when this the winner came down for this. Now, aside from the wonderful presenter of the award, we got the winner was Bonnie Raitt, who prior to last night I did not know who that was, and my apologies to if any Bonnie Raitt fans listen to this, but I had no idea who she was. So instead of being ignorant and woeful to the winner, I went to go check out the song. And it's a country ballad. She's a country singer, a very legendary country singer. And the video clip is very funny when the when she was announced as the winner. I'm going to play a clip of it. And of course, you can't see her reaction, but if you go on YouTube, you could just search it up. And the reaction, I thought, was pretty interesting.
Just like that.
Just like that, your life can change.
Her reaction is literally like, holy crap, me? And now going back to me searching up and not being woefully ignorant, it was a very good country ballad song. Very the classic country that I like legitimately enjoy, like that kind of sound. And but it was just, it was shocking for it to be Song of the Year. So then I went on the plays on Spotify. I know that's not a big indicator on why a song should win an award or not, but only had close to 478,000 plays on it. And that was shocking in a world full of streaming numbers and what we kind of go by. So it was a very good song, very well written, very well performed. So shocking to say the least. Yes, of course it was shocking to say the least because of all the songs that I mentioned previously. And, but nonetheless, congrats to Bonnie Raitt. Her reaction really said it all, I thought. It was really funny. But congrats to her. She won Song of the Year. And now we'll go to Album of the Year, which I guess is a little controversial in some ways. I'm kind of mixed. So up for album of the year was ABBA's Voyage, 30 for Adele, Un Verano Sin Ti, Bad Bunny, Renaissance, Beyonce, Harry's House, Harry Styles, Good Morning Gorgeous, Mary J. Blige, Brandi Carlile in the Silent Days, Music of the Spheres, Coldplay, which I don't know why that was up for album. That album sucked. Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers for Kendrick's, and Special for Lizzo. Those were all up for album of the year, which, okay. It went to Harry's House from Harry Styles. Now, Harry's House was one of my favorite records of 2022. It cracked my top 20 favorite records of the year, actually. And I didn't see it as being an album of the year thing. If it were up to me, you know, my vote, I would have had three choices. I would have had Renaissance from Beyonce, 30 from Adele, and Kendrick's Mr. Morale. Call me biased, but that's just me. Harry Styles, of course, it was a good album, very good pop album, very good indie pop album, solid all the way through. But it just doesn't scream album of the year to me, if that makes any sense. Now, if how I think and look at album of the year is more so musically impactful, more not really dominating any music charts or anything like that. You know, Adele, of course, had Easy on Me on there and a couple of others, but Adele has the vocal talent. Adele is leaps and bounds ahead of Harry Styles. now, that's not taking anything away from Harry Styles' talent. He's obviously talented, and the album is very good, but it's not an album of the year to me. And then going back, Beyonce had Cuff It, Break My Soul, whole bunch of other things. Really going back and showcasing really good skills on it. And they have Kendrick's Mr. Morale, which was a beautifully crafted and all-around great rap record. And it would have been the first rap record to win Album of the Year. Now, that's where it's always fucked the Grammys for me, because they never really give it its credit. Now, remember back in the day, they wouldn't even show it. So we made leaps and bounds in terms of how far hip-hop has come into the mainstream eyes of the Grammys, you know. But nonetheless, Harry Styles wins Album of the Year. Not really deemed controversial. It was a little head-scratching to me. Now, the whole online thing, you know, everyone going about, and I'm guilty. I'm a guilty party of that too. Not really understanding, just not making sense to why it was an album of the year. It didn't make any sense to me, you know. But check it out if you haven't heard it. It's a very good indie pop album. I mean, if it were up to me, you know, maybe it could have won best indie pop album, or if that was a category. I don't believe that's a category, but it would have been better suited off for that. Maybe best pop album, that kind of, you know, not album of the year, man. That's tough. That's tough. And even Un Verano Sin Ti, really great reggaeton album. But, I was left kind of, you know, a little taken aback and a little flabbergasted. But nonetheless of me going to, like, you know, throw my hands up or anything like that. Moving on now to the best new artist. Never heard of her, Samara Joy, but congratulations. I looked up her, and she is in the jazz category, and I've delving into a little more jazz music in my personal music listening experience. So I shall give her a listen when I get around to it. She was up against Domi and JD Beck, Lotto, Maneskin, and a couple other people, Omar Apollo. If they're up to me, it would have probably gone, you know, if they're up to me, I would have voted between Domi and JD Beck, Omar Apollo, or Lotto. But nonetheless, congrats to Samara Joy. I look forward to listening to her catalog. Best pop solo performance. This was a really good category. It had Bad Bunny, Doja Cat, Steve Lacy, Lizzo, Harry Styles, and Adele. And the winner on this was Adele, Easy on Me, which hard to argue this one, I think. Really catchy, really good song. Adele always brings it just vocally. And whether, you know, you listen on the radio constantly and sometimes those songs get killed, that's one thing. But in this case, that song has not been killed for me. It's a really great listen every time it comes on for me. So congrats to Adele on that. And then we go into the best pop duo group performance. This was between ABBA, Camila Cabello, and Ed Sheeran, Coldplay, and BTS. And Post Malone and Doja Cat. I actually did not know they were up for one. That's a good song, but again, off of one of Post Malone's weaker albums, in my opinion. And Unholy, Sam Smith and Kim Petras, and they were the winners. Now that little, now I think the beat, I think I've talked about this in a previous episode. The beat's good. It could be catchy, but it's overplayed as hell for me. And then the performance last night was something else with the satanic thing. It was definitely something else. Now again, it's whatever's going to draw in eyeballs and everything like that. And I was also yesterday years old when I found out that Kim Petras was transgender, and I had no idea about that. That was I was like, oh wow, that was interesting. But either way, Unholy wins Best Pop Duo Group Performance. Traditional pop vocal album. That's, you know, that's Michael Bublé. I don't really necessarily care about that one. Oh, and there we go. Best Pop Vocal Album, Harry's House, Harry Styles. See, that's where it should have won, in my opinion. Not Album of the Year. It's a good album, but, you know, I guess the cachet of Harry Styles is, you know, all the rage now. You know, he's what it is in terms of what you want your pop singers and stars to be like is Harry Styles. One who's cutting edge, one who's different than the rest, you know? Then the best dance electronic song, Break My Soul, well deserved. This is a banger. That was one of my favorite songs of the year last year. It went up against Rufus Du Sol, David Guetta and Bebe Rexha, I'm Good. It's a good song, but not Grammy worthy. Catronda featuring her and Diplo and Miguel and Bonobo. But Break My Soul, totally deserve that. Absolutely totally deserve that. Then the best dance electronic album. This is what put Beyonce over the top for the most Grammy wins in history with her Renaissance album. Now, Renaissance, great album. It missed my top 50. Just because I thought, in my own personal taste, I liked a little more than that. It literally was just on the outside. And I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan, but I thought she killed it. I'm not going to sit here and be like she's not talented or anything. And, you know, I'm very picky in terms of musicians writing their songs and stuff like that. And I know in the past she's never really been much of a songwriter, but she had a lot of writing credits on this album, so I'm going to give her credit for that. It was a really good, catchy hip house album. Really good all around record. So she wins the most Grammys now in Grammy history, and that's impressive. That's an impressive feat, regardless. Now let's move on to the best the rock category, which is really died down if you think about it. Let's go to the ones that I thought were, good. Best rock song, Broken Horses by Brandi Carlile. I don't think I've listened to that. Red Hot Chili Peppers were up for one. Ozzy Osbourne. Best rock album. I knew Machine Gun Kelly was up for this, and I was praying for the love of God that did not get a Grammy, and it did not. It went to Ozzy Osbourne's Patient Number 9. Now, Ozzy, of course, in the news lately, because he has announced that he is canceling his entire tour and he will no longer be touring due to failing health, which is unfortunate. A legendary musician in his own right, legendary rocker. But congrats to him winning Best Rock Album. I guess he still has it in that. Hopefully we still get a little more Ozzy in our life. The alternative one, can't necessarily say I was impressed on any of that front. We head to R&B. Best R&B performance goes to Muni Long. I got to check that out. Now, again, it's like, I guess it's like the Academy Awards when you think of Grammys and stuff. You're going to hear people that you never heard of, because I remember 1 year for Best New Artist, I think it was someone named Esperanza Spalding. I'm like, the fuck? I forgot who was up against. I was watching it for some reason. But, again, you know, and also doing this podcast makes me delve deeper into the music that I never really thought of that I would listen to. So I think it's good for that in my eyes. Best Traditional R&B Performance, Plastic Off the Sofa, Beyonce. Best R&B Song, Cuff It, Beyonce. Great song. Best, now, I don't get the difference between this, but maybe someone can tell me. The Best Progressive R&B Album and the Best R&B Album. So the Best Progressive R&B Album goes to Gemini Wright, Steve Lacy. Incredible album. Really catchy, you know, Bad Habit. But overall, so many other good songs on that album. Solid listen through. And then the Best R&B Album went to Robert Glasper's Black Radio 3, which is a very solid. It was out on the outside of my top 50, but it, nonetheless, it was a very solid record. Robert Glasper being the piano player. Very good. Now, there was a little controversy with this because Chris Brown was up for Best R&B Album for his Breezy album that dropped in 2022. Didn't really have any negatives nor positives about it. It is what it is. It's a Chris Brown album. But then he went on his Instagram and he was like, who the fuck is Robert Glasper? And that's, you know, kind of people took it as like, really, dude? And I had to agree with them. It's like, really, dude? Let the man get his flowers. And, you know, he's been around for a minute. You know, he's worked with a lot of people. He's worked with Denzel Curry. He's worked with Mac Miller. He's worked with so many other people in the industry that are well-respected. So he's well-respected. So it's not like it just went to some chump. You know, Chris Brown's a chump, however, which way you want to see it. But now we head into my favorite category, and this was the one that really was going to drag me in. The rap category. And so let's start here. The best rap performance. Thank God this one. Heart Part 5, Kendrick Lamar. Great song. Was the first teaser single for Mr. Morale. Can't say nothing positive more about that album and this song. Especially the visuals. The visuals were great. Best melodic rap performance, Wait For You, Future, featuring Drake and Thames. Pretty classy, not classy, pretty catchy song off that Future I Never Liked You album. And then best rap song went to The Heart Part 5 again. Well-deserved. You know, it was up against Churchill Downs, which was probably the only song I liked from Jack Harlow's album that had Drake on it. God Did, great, just great Jay-Z verse on it. Pushin' P, one of the worst songs I thought of the year. And then Wait For You, the Future song, the previous mentioned Future song. So went to The Heart Part 5. And then the dreaded best rap album category. Now, this is where I'm going to tell you why I've been saying fuck the Grammys. So it wasn't enough in 2014. I believe it was 2014 when Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City was up for Best Rap Album, and Macklemore's The Heist won. And then we all, you know, we all know in the internet world and everything that remember Macklemore's text to Kendrick saying that he was robbed and shit like that. Really, a little corny, little weird. And then came 2019 where you had Astroworld, you had Nipsey Hussle's Victory Lap, you had Daytona from Pusha T, you had Swimming from Mac Miller, and then you had Cardi B's Invasion of Privacy winning Best Rap Album, and that was a bunch of fucking bullshit. And that's what did it for me. I was like, nah, man, fuck that. If Mac wasn't going to win it, give it to Astroworld. Give it to Daytona. Victory Lap. Those were great albums that dropped that year. And you give it to Invasion of Privacy. It's like, oh, it did the numbers and stuff. Yeah, of course it's going to do the fucking numbers. It's a poppy rap album that's crappy. you know, no substance on it to me. And that's where I was just like, nah, man, fuck that. But last year's, actually even 2 years ago when they did Nas Justice finally giving him a Grammy for King's Disease, and that wasn't even the best King's Disease. King's Disease 2, in my opinion, was the best one. And that was nominated last year but lost to Tyler, the Creator's Call Me If You Get Lost. Not going to argue that. Good album there. But in this year's, it was very interesting to say the least because there were so many damn snubs, in my opinion, for this category. But so the two albums that I were just like, what the fuck, that were nominated were DJ Khaled's God Did and Jack Harlow's Come Home, The Kids Miss You. Now, I don't have to say enough about the Jack Harlow album. It's very mid. He's unfortunately very mid. And then the DJ Khaled. Why is DJ Khaled up for Best Rap Album? It's every DJ Khaled album is the same. You know, you get your couple good songs. Like, again, you got God Did, one of the best Jay-Z verses you're going to hear in a while. Unfortunately, you got the Eminem Kanye song on there that just did not hit. And then you had the Juice WRLD Did song, which was good. That was actually a good song, but it's not a Best Rap Album. You know who I would have placed in there? I would have put Jid in there, Forever Story. Fantastic fucking album. You know who else I would have put in there? Joey Badass, 2000, great album. Chico's, Black Thought and Danger Mouse. Really? You could have put that in there. That thing is fucking fantastic. But then you had It's Almost Dry, Pusha T. Thank God that was nominated. That was a great album. And then you had my favorite album of the year last year, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I would have rooted for that all the way. And thank God the people of the Grammys did something right for the rap category. And they let Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers win. Thank God. Now, Kendrick's speech was great, I thought. I'll play a little bit of a snippet. Play a little bit. Actually, I played pretty much the whole clip. Yeah, here's the GOAT Kendrick during his Best Rap Album speech for Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Tell what these tables got you. Got the wine, big apple cider, and all that. I like it, though. Now, first and foremost, I want to thank my family for giving me the courage, you know, and the vulnerability to share these stories and share my truth with this album. That's first and foremost. I want to thank. That's right. I want to thank my fans for trusting me with these words. You know? Yeah. You know, it's, you know, as artists, you know, we all entertainers, stupid, you know? And we say things to provoke thoughts and feelings and emotions. So making this record, this is one of my toughest records to make. And it allowed me to do that and allowed me to share other people's experiences, you know? So going back and thinking back where I started with rap and how far as came, I would like to thank the culture for allowing me to evolve in order to make a song like Mother, I'm Sober. That's special to me. All we ever wanted was to be the biggest underground artist of all time, and I finally found imperfection with this album, so I appreciate y'all. I love y'all.
Wise words from the GOAT there. And my favorite Kendrick album since Good Kid, Mad City. And I'm wearing my Mr. Morale tour shirt when I saw him out in July. Put on a great show. Him and Keem and Tana Leone. He got Kodak Black a Grammy. You know, whatever my opinion is on Kodak Black, that's impressive. He got Kodak Black a Grammy. He got Ghostface a Grammy. Just happy that the Grammys actually got it right for the rap album for once. You know, I mean, still disappointed about 2019. Everyone obviously still disappointed in 2014 when fucking Macklemore won, and that's just not aging well. I mean, there's nothing more you can say there. But again, thank God that that won, because there would have been uprising, I think. But uprising, especially more in the internet world. You know, a lot of people said it was mid, but no, that album was fantastic all around. And then they did Lifetime Achievement Awards, Slick Rick, legendary old school rapper, and Nirvana, and a couple of other people. Those are the headliners to me. And well-deserved. They're pioneers of their respective genres. Who else? I got to give all the others credit, too. The Supremes, Maya Rainey, Nile Rodgers, Ann Wilson, Nancy Wilson, Bobby McFerrin. Okay, yeah, no, they're names I've heard, but those are the names that stand out for me. And then the Music Cares Person of the Year, Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson, legends in their own right. And then the new Global Impact Award, the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award, of course, goes to the inaugural winner, Dr. Dre, who I don't have to say enough things about. Legend, without a doubt, no matter what you say, legend. And then the performance that I was waiting for happened. Now, you had the controversial Sam Smith one where, you know, it was all devil and this and that. It was something, to say the least. I'm not going to lie. That was something. But this performance I loved, and it's celebrating, actually, yeah, it's celebrating the 50 years. This is the performance that I loved. Because it literally started from the ground up of hip-hop into what it is now to whether just to show how much it's evolved and its sound and everything like that. You start out with the roots in Black Thought. Then you got to Grandmaster Flash with the Message. Then the Run DMC. Then the LL. Then the Jazzy Jeff. Salt and Peppa. Rakim, Public Enemy, got Flavor Flav and Chuck D. De La Soul, who is their entire catalog is finally coming to streaming, and I get to finally really enjoy everything De La Soul has done instead of going to YouTube and actually having to hear them there. But they are fantastic. Then you got Scarface, Ice-T, Queen Latifah, and then... Oh, this was the cherry for me. M-E-T-H-O-D, man. M-E-T-H-O-D, man. And then they go over to Jay-Z rapping it. Oh, it was dope. And they had Big Boy. Just disappointed that Andre wasn't there. You could have had a little Outkast reunion. But he did AT Aliens, Busta Rhymes. And he did his Look At Me Now verse. And I still love to this day that I saw that performed live. Then you had Missy with Lose Control, and then you flip it back to Nelly, you know, and then you go to Too Short, then you go to Swiss Beats and the Lox, then you went to Little Baby, Glorilla, and Little Uzi to end it, basically showcasing, like, how far it's come, how the different sounds, like, literally having all of them on stage just to showcase all the different sounds of what hip-hop has become. Whether you like it or dislike it, it's come full circle, and it's the best genre in the world right now. I wish you could have seen guys like Nas and M and just a whole bunch of others that have put their heart and soul into this genre and made it what it is today. I would have loved to have seen a DJ Premier up on there, you know, because he released that Fire EP last year, starting the celebration of 50 years of hip hop. But nonetheless, really good performance, really solid in how they did it. Also, the In Memoriam one was really good. The Quavo one really stuck out to me with the Takeoff tribute, singing the song Without You. Now, I think it's out there now that people are wondering why Offset wasn't there, and apparently Quavo and Offset are still beefing about whatever, and he didn't want him to be on the stage, and that's why he wasn't out there. But nonetheless, Quavo gave it a very emotional performance of his song, Without You. Then there was also a Mick Fleetwood doing a Fleetwood Mac tribute as one of their founding members passed away. Really, you know, just... And then the last performance was DJ Khaled, Jay-Z, Wayne, Ross, and John Legend going on stage. Really solid closer. Again, that's Again, one of the better Jay-Z verses we've heard in a while, in my opinion. And Grammys get a B for me this year. It was a B, you know, nothing, you know, it had its moments because it's a Grammys. It's always going to have its hiccups, just how the Academy views a lot of this shit and who's nominated and who's not nominated, who's snubbed, like that kind of thing. It's always going to be like that. But nonetheless, the Grammys were much better this year than I anticipated, and I'm for that. I am definitely for that. So, but anyways, then today is also a special day in hip-hop history and in one of my personal favorite albums ever, and that's the 20th anniversary of 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying. Now, I remember when I first heard this album, it was because of In the Club, and I had begged my parents to get me Get Rich or Die Trying, and I had to have been 8 or 9 years old, man, and I even remember when I bought The Massacre in when I was like 10, and being so happy that I'm like, wow, I got The Massacre. But this album has so many really good hardcore New York hip-hop on it, and to me, one of the most heartfelt songs in rap history with Many Men. And it always hits. It always hits. You know, you got Patiently Waiting on there. What Up Gangsta in the Club. Obviously, one of the best club hits of all time. Really underrated cuts like Bloodhound, Don't Push Me, Life on the Line. So many good things to say about this classic rap album, modern classic rap album. And, you know, that's the one thing. 50's first two were good like that. But I love this damn thing. And I cannot believe it's 20 years. It's making me feel old. God damn, when it dropped, I was 7. And now I'm 27, going to be 28. And this thing still is in rotation to me every time. I never get sick of it. 21 questions, solid song, everything. I just, you know, and
with me, my back on the wall, now you gon' see.
Like, come on.
Watch how you talk when you talk about me, cause I'll come and take your life away, Many Men.
Just great. 50 talking about the times that, you know, he was shot and literally lived. Again, you know, like a tale to tell for the ages. And then Get Rich or Die Trying, Eminem, 50 Cent, Dr. Dre, all a collaborative effort there. Kind of introduced yourself to G-Unit into the mainstream. Now, 50 obviously was still doing, he was doing shit, had up his previous stuff, but this is what got 50 Cent out more into the mainstream and not just to the hip-hop world. So, and, you know, without 50 Cent, you don't get really, you don't get the In the Club, one of the best club hits. You don't get Candy Shop. You don't get G-Unit songs that were really good. You don't get a lot of things without this album, I think. And, you know, you don't get a lot of the entertainment value of what the show Power was for a lot of people. And all the spinoffs that it came with it. You know, without that, we don't get a 50 Cent and anything like that. So that album laid a lot of, has a lot to do with a lot of pop culture today. And just had to say happy 20th birthday to Get Rich or Die Trying. And then we'll end on quite literally a high note. Happy birthday to the legend Bob Marley, born 1945 today. And, yeah, figured I will end this more upbeat show with a nice little jamming session of Bob Marley's Jammin'. Thank you for listening, everybody. Keep on listening and have a good one.